by Jim Mars. From Gray Falcon website. With the current mysterious happenings in Antarctica concerning Lake Vistok, an old theory is being resurrected, that German Nazis as early as the 1930s may have built a secret base at the South Pole. While this idea undoubtedly will strike most people as absurd, there is tantalizing evidence to suggest that something along this line might have some truth to it. Long-standing banking and business connections allowed high-ranking German leaders in 1944 to forge a formidable Nazi-controlled organization for post-war activities. Author Jim Keith wrote, "In researching the shape of totalitarian control during this century, I saw that the plans of the Nazis manifestly did not die with the German loss of World War II. The ideology and many of the principal players survived and flourished after the war, and have had a profound impact on post-war history, and on events taking place today." Orvis A. Schmidt, the U.S. Treasury Department's Director of Foreign Funds Control, in 1945 offered this description of a Nazi flight capital program. "The network of trade, industrial, and cartel organizations has been streamlined and intermeshed, not only organizationally but also by what has been officially described as personnel union. Legal authority to operate this organizational machinery has been vested in the concerns that have majority capacity in the key industries such as those producing iron and steel, coal and basic chemicals. These concerns have been deliberately welded together by exchanges of stock to the point where a handful of men can make policy and other decisions that affect us all. Could one of those decisions have been the creation of a Nazi base connected to the development of UFOs? While this notion may superficially appear to be sheer nonsense, the public record offers compelling, if incomplete, evidence to support this idea. One theory is that Martin Bormann and other top Nazis escaped to South America and onto a secret base in Antarctica where they built UFOs so sophisticated that their secret Nazi empire has exerted significant control over world events and governments to this day. While there can be no question that the business and financial network created by Bormann wields a certain amount of power even today, evidence for the existence of a major Nazi base containing UFOs is virtually non-existent, consisting primarily of the known exploration of Antarctica's Queen Maud Land, renamed Neuschwabenland by the Germans, in 1938 and some unverified statements. Reportedly, German Navy Grand Admiral Karl Dönitz stated in 1943, "The German submarine fleet is proud of having built for the Führer in another part of the world a Shangri-La on land, an impregnable fortress." And it has been reported that U.S. Admiral Richard Byrd, upon his return from an expedition to Antarctica in 1947, stated it was necessary for the USA to take defensive actions against enemy air fighters which come from the polar regions and that America could be attacked by fighters that are able to fly from one pole to the other with incredible speed. Advancing the idea that the Nazis continually shipped men and material to the South Pole throughout the war years, author R.A. Harbinson wrote, "Regarding the possibility of the Germans building self-sufficient underground research factories in the Antarctic, it is only to be pointed out that the underground research centers of Nazi Germany were gigantic feats of construction, containing wind tunnels, machine shops, assembly plants, launching pads, supply dumps and accommodation for all who worked there, including adjoining camps for slaves, and yet very few people knew that they existed. But, while tales of a secret Nazi base in Antarctica may appear plausible to some, the idea that a warm water location at the South Pole has remained undiscovered and no one has escaped or deserted the place in more than 50 years stretched belief to the breaking point in years past. But with the new revelations of 60 to 70 degree temperature water, magnetic anomalies suggesting the possibility of a hidden city or base and the obvious back out taking place concerning current events at the pole, the idea of a secret base is no longer so far-fetched." Rumors began to circulate that whilst Germany had been defeated, a selection of military personnel and scientists had fled the fatherland as Allied troops swept across mainland Europe, and had established themselves at a secret base on the Antarctic continent, from where they continued to develop their advanced aircraft technology. Furthermore, it is interesting to note that at the end of the war, the Allies determined that there were 250,000 Germans unaccounted for, even taking into account casualties and deaths. Could Neuschwabenland have been a permanently manned German base at that time? The brackish water of the warm, 30 degrees, lakes virtually confirmed that all had an outlet to the sea and would thus have been a haven for U-boats. The two ice-free mountain ranges in Neuschwabenland presented no worse an underground tunneling project for organization thought than anything they had encountered and overcome in Norway. The Germans were the world's experts at building and inhabiting underground metropolis. At the end of the war, the United States gave anything concerning Ordruf a top secret classification for 100 years upwards. The fact that there had been substantial underground workings there, and Ordruf was the location of the last redoubt, was concealed absolutely. Fortunately for researchers, in 1962 the DDR had taken sworn depositions from all local residents during an investigation into wartime Ordruf, and upon the reunification of the two Germanies in 1989, these documents became available to all and sundry at Arnstadt Municipal Archive. From the Arnstadt documents, it is clear that the Sheridianlage unit operated in a three-story underground bunker with floors 70 by 20 meters. When working, the device emitted some kind of energy field which shut down all electrical equipment and non-diesel engines within a range of about 8 miles. For this reason, even though Ordruf was crawling with SS, it was never photographed from the air nor bombed. Declassified USAF documents dated early 1945 admit the existence of an unknown energy field over Frankfurt/Main and other locations which, fantastic though it may appear, were able to interfere with our aircraft engines at 30,000 feet. Ordruf rebuilt below Neuschwabenland during the last 2 years of the war would not have been difficult, and since Sheridianlage had the highest priority of anything in the Third Reich, it seems likely that it must have been. Such a base would have been impregnable, for the suggestion is that the force field worked in various ways favorable to the occupants. Scary secrets of the Third Reich's base in Antarctica. A remarkable event occurred in 1999, but only specialists paid adequate attention to it. A research expedition discovered a virus in Antarctica. At that, neither people nor animals had immunity to the virus. After all, Antarctica is far away. For this very reason, the virus cannot be dangerous for the rest of the planet, especially since the dangerous discovery was deep in the permafrost. However, scientists say that against the background of a global warming threatening the Earth, the unknown virus can cause an awful catastrophe on the planet. Expert Tom Starmerue from the University of New York also shares the pessimistic forecasts of his colleagues. "We don't know what the mankind will face in the South Pole in the nearest time due to the global warming. It is not ruled out that an unbelievable catastrophe may break out. Viruses protected with a protein cover survive even in the permafrost. As soon as the temperature gets warmer, they will immediately start reproducing." American scientists treated the Antarctica discovery very seriously and even organized a special expedition that currently tests the ice for unknown viruses in order to develop an antidote in good time. What is the source of the virus in Antarctica, where only penguins can survive in the ice? There is no answer to the question. Specialists are at a loss. However, several theories concerning the problem have been put forward. A majority of scientists are inclined to believe that prehistoric forms of life probably survived in the permafrost. But some specialists blame Bonzes of the Third Reich for delivery of a secretly developed bacteriological weapon to Antarctica. And this theory arose not in a vacuum. It is known that already in 1938 Nazis suddenly became interested in Antarctica. They organized two expeditions to the area in 1938 to 1939. At first, planes of the Third Reich took detailed pictures of unexplored territories, and then they dropped several thousands of metal pennants with swastika there. The whole of the explored territory was called Neuschwabenland and was considered a part of the Third Reich. After the expedition, Captain Richer reported to Field Marshal Goering. "The planes dropped the pennants 25 kilometers apart. We covered the area of about 8,600 square meters. 350,000 square meters of them were photographed." In 1943, Grand Admiral Karl Dönitz dropped a remarkable phrase. "Germany's submarine fleet is proud that it created an unassailable fortress for the Führer on the other end of the world." It highly likely means that Nazis were building a secret base in Antarctica within 1938 to 1943. Submarines were mostly used for transportation of necessary freight to the place. As specialists for the Third Reich wrote, at the end of World War II the submarines were relieved of their torpedo arms in the port of Kiel and then were loaded with containers with different goods. The submarines also received passengers whose faces were hidden behind surgical bands. Wilhelm Bernhardt was commander of one of the submarines, U-530. The submarine left the port of Kiel on April 13, 1945. When it reached the shores of Antarctica, 16 members from the crew built an ice cave and put boxes into the cave. It was allegedly said that the boxes contained relics of the Third Reich, including Hitler's documents and personal stuff. The operation was codenamed Valkyrie II. When the operation was over on July 10, 1945, the submarine U-530 entered the Argentinian port of Mar del Plata and surrendered to the authorities. It is also supposed that another submarine from the formation, U-977, under the command of Heinz Schäfer, delivered the remains of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun to Neuschwabenland. It followed the route of the U-530 submarine and called it Antarctica. The submarine arrived in Mar del Plata on August 17, 1945. But the version of Wilhelm Bernhardt and Heinz Schäfer saying that the submarines delivered relics to the Antarctica shores, both captains told it at the interrogations held by the American and British intelligence services, seems rather dubious. It is unlikely that the Sirius operation was designed only for the sake of delivery of the Third Reich documents and relics. Later, special services seized a confidential letter of Captain Schäfer to his friend, Captain Wilhelm Bernhardt, who obviously planned to publish his memoirs. The letter was dated with June 1, 1983. It runs as follows. Dear Willie. I was thinking if it is reasonable to publish your manuscript concerning the U-530. The three submarines that took part in that operation, U-977, U-530 and U-465, are currently at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Isn't it better to leave them there? My old friend, think about it. Think please how then my book will look when you publish your memoirs. After World War II, Heinz Schäfer wrote a book named U-977. We all made an oath to keep the secret, we did nothing wrong, we just obeyed the orders and fought for our loved Germany and its survival. Please think again, isn't it better to picture everything as a fable? What results do you plan to achieve with your revelations? Think about it, please. Even 40 years after the events, Heinz insisted that Bernhardt mustn't say the truth. Is it possible that the submarines delivered something more dangerous to the continent, not Hitler's documents? Could it be the bacteriological weapon traces of which were discovered in Antarctica as unknown viruses in the permafrost last year? New Berlin. If you had been a Wehrmacht soldier at the bombed-out railroad station in Poltava, a city in the Ukraine, during the summer of 1942, you may have seen a very strange-looking military unit on the march, heading for a waiting passenger train. The unit consisted of women, all of them blonde and blue-eyed, between the ages of 17 and 24, tall and slender, their sensational figures encased in striking sky-blue uniforms. Each woman wore an Italian-style garrison cap, an A-line skirt with the hem below the knee, and a form-fitting jacket with the insignia of the SS. You might have thought the SS had recruited a platoon of high-class call girls, but the truth was far stranger than that. You would have been looking at Reichsfuhrer SS Heinrich Himmler's latest brainstorm, the Antarktische Siedlungsfrauen, Antarctic Settlement Women or ASF. The story actually begins in 1938, when the German seaplane carrier Schwabenland sailed across the South Atlantic, bound for Queen Maud's Land in Antarctica. According to Russian ufologist Konstantin Ivanenko, the Schwabenland sailed to Antarctica, commanded by Albert Richter, a veteran of cold weather operations. The Richter expedition's scientists used their large Dornier seaplanes to explore the polar wastes, emulating Admiral Richard E. Byrd's efforts a decade earlier. The German scientists discovered ice-free lakes, heated by underground volcanic features, and were able to land on them. It is widely believed that the Schwabenland's expedition was aimed at scouting out a secret base of operations. A German base was established in the Mulig-Hoffmann Mountains, just inland from the Princess Astrid coast. The area was renamed Neuschwabenland, New Swabia, and the base was known only as Station 211. From the movie Schindler's List, people have gotten the idea that killing Jews was the Nazis' main concern. But in actual fact, Hitler and the SS were just as ruthless with the rest of the population in their Eastern European Empire, thinking nothing of shuffling large numbers of people around in their quest for a more perfect Aryan race. This shuffle was accomplished by a little-known office of the SS called the Rassensiedlungsamt, German for Race and Settlement Bureau, or RUSHA. In the Ukraine alone, RUSHA drafted 500,000 women for forced labor in the munitions factories of Nazi Germany. It was RUSHA which selected women for Himmler's unit of Antarktische Siedlungsfrauen, Antarctic Settlement Women. About half of the recruits were Volksdeutsch ethnic Germans whose ancestors had settled in the Ukraine in the 17th and 18th centuries. The others were native Ukrainians whom RUSHA had upgraded to full Aryans. This process was called Eindeutschung, Germanization. According to Ivanenko, there is increased popularity for the idea of a German Slavonic Antarctic Reich. It is said that 10,000 of the racially most pure Ukrainians, out of 500,000 deported in 1942 by Martin Bormann, were transported to the German Antarctic bases during World War II, in the proportion of 4 Ukrainian women to 1 German man. If true, this would mean that Himmler transferred 2,500 Waffen-SS soldiers, who had proven themselves in combat on the Russian front, to Station 211, now Neuschwabenland, in Antarctica. This may be the source of the myth of the last SS battalion. An ASF training camp was set up in Estonia, on a peninsula near Ristna on Haiamaa Island in the Baltic Sea. It was a combination finishing school and boot camp, where the ladies took lessons in charm and housekeeping along with their courses in polar survival. Himmler kept the camp's existence a closely guarded secret. For unhappy campers, the only escape consisted of a one-way train ticket to Auschwitz. There is one known instance of an ASF deserter. In 1943, Auschwitz guard Irma Gries, 22, the off-and-on girlfriend of Dr. Josef Mengele, took to wearing a sky blue ASF uniform, which she had scavenged from a pile of inmate clothing. Gries was hanged in 1946 for war crimes. The uniform's original owner must have had serious second thoughts about a permanent move to Antarctica. The failure of Gross Admiral Karl Dönitz's U-boat offensive by May 1943 freed up dozens of milk cow U-boats. These were large submarines, almost as big as tramp steamers, which Dönitz had used to supply his U-boat wolf packs in remote seas of the world. Himmler now put them to work carting supplies and personnel to Antarctica. Himmler's rationale for sending thousands of settlers to Antarctica can only be understood within the context of his mystic beliefs. As a result of his youthful reading of New Age books, his association with the occultist Dr. Friedrich Wicht, and his membership in the Ardamon, Himmler became a believer in the Hindu concept of world ages or yugas. He believed that the current age, or Kali Yuga, would end in a global cataclysm, thereby giving birth to a new world age called the Satya Yuga. By sending a Nazi colony to Antarctica, Himmler was ensuring that a remnant of the pure Aryan race would survive the coming cataclysm with its society and culture intact. They would then take possession of Antarctica when the cataclysm melted the South Polar ice cap. According to believers, the Neuschwabenland colony survived not only the end of World War II, but a full-on battle with the 3,500 Marines and aircraft of Operation High Jump. In 2003, Ivanenko wrote, "The total population of Nazis in Antarctica now exceeds 2 million in that many of them have undergone plastic surgery in order to move about with greater ease through South America and conduct all manner of business transactions." He called the Antarctic Reich one of the most militarily powerful states in the world because it can destroy the USA several times over with its submarine-based nuclear missiles, remaining itself invulnerable to US nuclear strikes because of the 2-mile-thick ice shield. Further, he claims that the city of Neu-Berlin, the colony's capital, sprawls through narrow subglacial tunnels under an unnamed mountain range, heated by volcanic vents. The ufologist also makes the claim that Neu-Berlin adjoins the prehistoric ruins of Kadath, which may have been built by settlers from the lost continent of Atlantis well over 100,000 years ago. Still other fringe researchers claim that the actual ruins of Atlantis have been found, and possibly reoccupied, under the Antarctic ice. Some say that Atlantis is located near one of the 70 or so warm water lakes that have been discovered miles beneath the polar ice sheet, such as Lake Vostok near the Russian base at the Pole of Inaccessibility. Another of the oft-made claims about New Berlin is that the city has an alien quarter, where Pleiadians, Zeta Reticulans, Reptoids, Men in Black, Aldebarani and other visitors from the stars dwell. As we have seen, the Nazis were working on some very advanced aircraft, some of which may have been capable of leaving the Earth's atmosphere. Some researchers are convinced that the Nazis did indeed make it to the Moon, and even Mars. Could they have made contact with space aliens once they left the Earth? Or, could their rockets, Foo Fighters and disc aircraft have attracted aliens to visit them? A claim floats around in modern UFO lore that an extraterrestrial craft with anti-gravity propulsion crashed in the Schwarzwald in the summer 1936, and was recovered by the Nazis who back-engineered it, thus explaining their flying saucer program. This parallels stories of a similarly recovered crashed saucer near Roswell, New Mexico in 1947, the American back-engineering of which supposedly led to the discovery of the transistor, patented by Bell Laboratories the following year, fiber optics and other exotic technologies. Ivanenko reported that talk about the Antarctic Reich is becoming more and more popular in Russia, Poland, the Ukraine, Belarus and other countries in Eastern Europe. He writes, in the May 10, 2003 issue of the newspaper Frankfurter Allgemeine, Polish journalist Aistegjik criticized Poland's decision to send troops to Iraq to assist with the Allied occupation. At the end, he said, the next Polish government will sign a treaty with Antarctica and declare war on the USA. Iwanenka added that Stagjik's words were broadcast on the shortwave radio station Deutsche Welle the same week. Some analysts compared this sentence to famous code phrases which started wars in the 20th century, such as over all of Spain, the sky is cloudless in 1936, and climb Mount Nitaka in 1941. Climb Mount Nitaka was the signal Admiral Yamamoto sent to Kido Butai, the Imperial Japanese Navy's fleet, to begin the attack on Pearl Harbor. It is strange to think of a large population living under the ice of Antarctica, totally divorced from the mainstream world. Then again, there are Havaro indigenous people living on Lago de Yanayaku Lake, less than 50 kilometers, 30 miles, east of Iquitos, Peru, who have never heard of Courtney Love. So, is there a city under the ice inhabited by the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the original SS settlers? Or is it just an urban legend stemming from the chaotic conditions that prevailed in Europe during World War II? Someday we may know for certain. NASA and U.S. Navy conduct a clandestine search in Antarctica. On December 30, 1946, a U.S. Navy patrol plane with a crew of 9, mapping the Antarctic coast as part of a military effort called Operation High Jump, crashed in a snowstorm after its radar failed to detect a slope not shown on the charts. Now the U.S. Navy, piggybacking on scientific explorations of Western Antarctica, has begun an effort to locate the plane and recover the remains of the crew members who died. The crew members in their plane were part of what remains to this day the largest expedition ever in Antarctica, Operation High Jump, which was led by the renowned polar explorer, Rear Admiral Richard E. Byrd, and consisted of 13 ships, 23 aircraft and 4,700 men. According to a 1946 Navy memorandum, the mission's goal was consolidating and extending U.S. sovereignty over Antarctic areas, investigating possible base sites and extending scientific knowledge in general. With the Cold War turning more frigid by the month, the venture unnerved the Soviet Union. The Soviet whaling fleet had just begun plying Antarctic waters, and a military publication called Red Fleet warned darkly that the operation was proof American military circles are seeking to subject the polar regions to their control. Argentina and Chile were none too happy, either. Both countries had their own overlapping claims to areas extending from the tip of South America. Their fears of an American incursion were heightened when Chile asked Washington's permission to send an observer along, but was turned down. In their books, written in the 1970s, Wilhelm Landig and outcast ufologist Ernst Sundel claimed that Operation High Jump was literally the last battle of World War II. In Secret Nazi Polar Expeditions, 1978, and Hitler at the South Pole, 1979, Sundel claimed that Reichsfuhrer SS Heinrich Himmler had founded an SS colony in Antarctica called Neuschwabenland. The base, known as Point 211, eventually became the Antarctic Reich. Opinion is sharply divided about the final fate of Neuschwabenland. Some argue that the Nazis abandoned their Antarctic sanctuary in the 1960s and moved to sites in the Andes. Another group claims that the Antarctic Reich still exists and has grown into a civilization under the ice, home to about 3 million people of German and Ukrainian descent. It's supposed to be somewhere in the Mulek Hoffman Mountains, adjacent to the ruins of Kadath, a city founded by settlers from the lost continent of Atlantis. The redemptionists believe that Adolf Hitler escaped from Berlin in April 1945, traveled to southern Argentina in a U-boat, and from there traveled to Neuschwabenland in a Nazi flying saucer. Hitler supposedly lived in Antarctica until 1952, when he reportedly traveled to the moon and met with aliens from space. These aliens took him to Aldebaran, 68 light-years from Earth. According to the legend, someday Hitler will return with an Aldebarani space armada. On November 27, 2004, the Navy undertook the initial flight to try to locate the wreckage of the George I, the plane that crashed in 1946. The search flight was a joint one, conducted aboard a Chilean Navy Orion P-3 aircraft with a Chilean crew and NASA scientists working together. This wasn't just a routine task for us, said Captain Christian Aldenit, the senior Chilean pilot on the recovery flight. It was a challenge to find clues that could help locate the plane, even though we knew it would be almost impossible to get at it because of the ice and snow that had piled up over so many years. During an 11-hour flight from and back to Punta Arenas, in the extreme south of Chile, the search plane dipped as low as 500 feet, 150 meters, over Thurston Island so scientists could use radar and laser beams to try to locate the remains of the U.S. Navy PBM, Martin, Mariner seaplane. Even today it's not easy, but we can rely on information from satellite photos, GPS systems and wind predictions, Aldenit said, referring to global positioning networks. But from the time they took off until the time they arrived in the area, they had no idea what to expect. Though little known in the outside world, the three men who died in the 1946 crash, Wendell K. Henderson, Maxwell Lopez and Frederick Williams, are still celebrated in Antarctica as heroes. At McMurdo Station, a U.S. research base on the edge of the Ross Ice Shelf, there is a plaque to honor the men, the first Americans to die on any of Byrd's many expeditions. See the Duluth, Minnesota, News Tribune for January 2, 2005, Navy tries to find plane lost in Antarctica 58 years ago. There are lines of magnetic force emanating from the South Magnetic Pole. What is strange about the North and South Poles is the way in which the magnetic lines of force move. The magnetic lines of force originate from a hole just off the coast of Antarctica. There are Chilean and Peruvian scientists/bases being near or along the route of UFOs emanating from inside the Earth. Many UFOs fly directly south-north along South America. If one draws a line from South America, through the Antarctic bases of Chile, etc. through the South Pole to the South Magnetic Pole, then you get a straight line. What's interesting about this potential UFO route is that UFOs coming from inside the Earth would end up flying over the America South Pole base. However, the line of flight is such that the only places in the Antarctic where you'd stand a chance of seeing these UFOs is in the Weddell Sea area where South American countries have their bases and at the Scott base at the South Pole. The other parts of the UFO route is somewhat offset from the commonly traveled routes and so there's little chance of running into UFOs by accident at any other places. That would explain why the U.S. government doesn't like visitors to the South Pole base. It's not that the hole is at or near the South Pole base, as we originally thought, but along the route from the real hole in the oceans off the coast. Bob Barino, in his article, UFO Bases Found in Antarctica, Globe, January 18, 1983, quotes from certain scientists who believe that a subterranean UFO base is located beneath the strange Polynya Sea in the Antarctica's Weddell Sea region. The French agents France-Presse on September 25, 1946, said. The continuous rumors about German U-boat activity in the region of Tierra del Fuego, Feuerland, in German, between the southernmost tip of Latin America and the continent of Antarctica are based on true happenings. The newspaper François had the following account. Almost 1.5 years. After cessation of hostilities in Europe, the island Equator, Juliana was stopped by a large German U-boat. The Juliana was in the Antarctic region around Malvinas, now Falkland, Islands when a German submarine surfaced and raised the German official naval flag of mourning, red with a black edge. The submarine commander sent out a boarding party, which approached the Juliana in a rubber dinghy, and having boarded the whaler demanded of Captain Hecla part of his fresh food stocks. The request was made in the definite tone of an order to which resistance would have been unwise. The German officer spoke a correct English and paid for his provisions in U.S. dollars, giving the captain a bonus of $10 for each member of the Juliana crew. Whilst the foodstuffs were being transferred to the submarine commander informed Captain Hecla of the exact location of a large school of whales. Later the Juliana found the school of whales were designated to address that 1947 story. To this day there has never been any Icelandic whaler in the South Atlantic, let alone in the Antarctica. No Icelandic ship has ever been named Juliana and Hekla is an active volcano in Iceland, not a last name. 99% of all Icelandic last names for males end in son. The Hitler in Argentina tale is an old one. It first surfaced in a book by Lourdes La Osabo entitled Hitler está vivo, Spanish for Hitler is alive, back in 1947. A second book by Michael X. Barton was published in 1969 entitled We Want You, Is Hitler Alive? Then Ernst Zundel took up the banner in 1974. Out of these books has sprung the saucer Nazi theories. Both theories agree that Hitler escaped from the Führer bunker in Berlin and fled to Argentina in a U-boat. However, Believers in the Antarctic Reich theory contend that Hitler left Argentina in the early 1950s and moved to Neuschwabenland, an SS colony under the ice of Antarctica, right next to the prehistoric ruins of Kadath. Here, they say, Adolf lived out his life, resuming his artist's career and painting a series of Antarctic ice scapes. Prior to World War II, German scientists were obsessed with Antarctica. Far from finding a desolate wasteland covered with ice, the Germans discovered ice-free areas, warm water lakes and cavern systems. The following passage refers to German efforts to claim a region of Antarctica after Norwegian expeditions in the 1920s and 30s. After these expeditions, the Germans also got interested in Queen Maud Land, or Neuschwabenland as referred to by the Germans, and planned an expedition to declare it as theirs. Anyway, it is still lying there as a remote ice shelf with lots of high mountains over the glacier. Truly a beautiful land. Queen Maud Land is dominated by the giant shelf of ice, flowing slowly from King Haakon VII, plateau over the South Pole, down to the ocean. This area is called Fenriskjöfn after the mouth of the giant devil wolf in Norse mythology. According to this mythology, Fenris, the wolf, teeth were very sharp, and they would kill all people on Earth during Ragnarok, the end of the world. Most of the mountains in Fenriskjöfn have names with analogies to teeth, or to other parts of the Norse. The use of wolf symbology is interesting as it touches upon a theme in Nazi symbology which used the wolf as a totem of the hunter-killer. Hitler's retreat in Berchtesgaden, Bavaria was nicknamed Wolf's Lair, and the tactic used by German U-boats to defeat convoys during the war was called Wolf Pack. Germany also had allies in South America and South Africa. Many Nazis fled to Argentina following the war, and South Africa resembled a Nazi state as racial minorities, including Indians as well as blacks, were subjected to apartheid. Hitler's dream was of a thousand-year Reich. Is this a thinly veiled counterpart to Jesus' millennial kingdom? Allied pilots reported seeing Foo Fighters during the latter stages of the World War II. These craft appeared and vanished at incredible speeds and created electrical and magnetic anomalies when close to Allied aircraft. These craft are similar to flying saucers that were reported initially in 1947. Nazi leaders were known for their obsession with the occult, including astrology and ancient relics. Remember the Indiana Jones movies that used Nazi quests for the holiest relics of the Judeo-Christian faith? These movies are based on the occultic practices of Nazis. One relic they were fascinated with, and may possess, was the Spear of Destiny that pierced Christ's side on Golgotha. The next movie in the Indiana Jones series is tentatively titled Indiana Jones and the Lost Continent, an allusion to Atlantis, the antediluvian civilization destroyed by God's flood in Genesis chapter 6 after the daughters of men were taken by the sons of God as their wives, a reference to fallen angels? Hitler's corpse was never found. Recent reports of open KGB files assert that Hitler's bones were kept and then destroyed by Soviet intelligence. But the current incarnation of Russia is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and there is little faith in the KGB, or FSB, its successor, veracity. UFO abductee Barney Hill, who in the 1960s was one of the first publicized abductees, claimed under hypnosis that one of his abductors looked like a German Nazi. Other abductees have claimed seeing Nazi-style decorations or hearing German or German-accented voices as part of their abduction experience. Under Operation Paperclip, Nazi scientists and intelligence officers were integrated into the military, NASA, and the intelligence community. Wernher von Braun is the most famous and is remembered for being the genius behind the Saturn rockets. The most infamous was Reinhard Gehlen, a major general in the Nazi Abwehr or intelligence agency. Gehlen was sponsored by the Dulles brothers. John Foster Dulles was a founding member of the CFR and served as President Eisenhower's Secretary of State. Allen was a president of the CFR, and was the director of Central Intelligence, head of the CIA, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Not only has the CIA been implicated in the assassination of JFK, Allen Dulles was a member of the Warren Commission, the investigative body JFK researchers argue was the government's official cover-up of the conspiracy. German wealth, much of it looted from nations conquered during World War II, was spirited out of Germany. U.S. Undersecretary of Commerce Stuart Eisenstadt reported the following concerning the Nazi treasury. The evidence presented in this report is incontrovertible. The Swiss National Bank and private Swiss bankers knew, as the war progressed, that the Reichsbanks, the German central bank, own coffers had been depleted, and that the Swiss were handling vast sums of looted gold. Transcript, Eisenstadt briefing on looted Nazi gold report, United States Department of Commerce. May 8, 1997. When World War II ended, and Europe was being overrun by the Allies, the country in charge of each sector of Europe. In our sector, we backed trucks up to the former production facilities and hauled off all the documents. Everyone else did the same thing. Some 12 years later, the Australians discovered a 16mm film, a technical report, of the German V7 research project. The V7 weapons research project involved circular disc-shaped craft. Now, we knew about programs V1 through V4, but we had no previous idea about the V7 program. The information in this documentary seemed to indicate that the Germans built their first operational disc sometime in the early 1940s in the first production facility in Prague. Then they proceeded to expand their design, development and research teams until by the time the Germans were being driven back into Germany, they had 9 research facilities, all with projects under testing. They successfully evacuated 8 of those facilities out of Germany, along with the scientists and the key people. The 9th facility was blown up. Now, this 16mm film showed some pictures of flying vehicles in operation. We also knew through intelligence, where I was working at the end of the war, that the Germans built 8 very large cargo submarines, especially built, and they were all commissioned, launched and proceeded to disappear without a trace. To this day, we have no idea where they went. They are not on the bottom of the ocean or at any port we know of. It's a mystery, but the mystery might have been solved by this Australian documentary film, which shows large German cargo submarines in the Antarctic with ice floes all around them, and crews standing on deck waiting for tie-up at a quay. We have underground information that some of the research facilities in Germany were taken to a place called New Schwabenland. Now, Germany was called Schwabenland before it was called Germany. So, we are talking about New Germany, and it is located in an area at the South Pole formerly called Queen Maud Land. Back around 1937, we convened an international conference under the League of Nations at the time to decide to restrict new claims to land in Antarctica. At the time, everyone seemed to have a claim except Germany, who had not staked out a claim but only had some research going on down there. The whole thing was designed to keep Germany from making a land claim as the Nazis were coming to power. We refused to recognize German claims, which were shown on German maps. A couple of years ago, National Geographic showed the German claim on a map for the first time. But, back in 1939, Goering led an expedition to the Antarctic, including a submarine force, and they took construction and digging equipment down there and began excavating a tunnel complex, and this activity might have been going on since that time. If that is the case, it could be a sizable complex today. That may be where the big cargo submarines are. We believe that at least one or more of the disc research facilities were taken to Antarctica. We had information that one was taken to the Amazon, and that another was taken to the north coast of Norway, where there is a strong German population. Those were taken into secretly maintained underground facilities. Before World War II, the Germans had military advisors all over South America, and when we got into the war, we persuaded countries in South America to give up German advisors and accept American ones. Down there, they still prefer the Germans and have never liked us. It is quite possible that some of this material and some of these research facilities were decentralized to South America as the German Empire began to collapse. The big companies like IG Farben and the German subsidiary of General Electric opened large subsidiary plants in Rio and São Paulo in Brazil, and some of these new facilities became larger than they had been in Germany. So, there would have been support capability for disc research facilities. One has to wonder how much truth there really is to all of this. It appears that some of the craft we see today are nothing more than further developments of German disc technology. So, we may in fact be visited periodically by Germans. One has to wonder how much we are observing is man-made, and how much is truly extraterrestrial technology. Certainly there is some of both, but we don't know what the percentages are. Wendell C. Stevens. Thousands of missiles fired by Russian and American forces over Earth's Arctic regions, completely unannounced. Are we fighting extraterrestrial UFOs? India Daily. Staff Reporter. April 14, 2005. Report is reaching of a strange behavior by the American and Russian forces in the Earth's Arctic regions. Completely unannounced, both the superpowers are launching thousands of missiles from both land-based and aircraft launched. These missiles that are being directed out of the Earth's atmosphere into the outer space regions of our planet's atmosphere. From various news services, however, there is being reported that Russia and the United States are conducting missile defense war games. The valid question is, why was this separate military exercise not previously announced? Some UFO researchers believe that both the forces are jointly fighting something that they are not saying. There are also reports that someone is manipulating the Earth's weather systems in a massive scale. Are American and Russians jointly fighting them? The cosmic bursts hitting the Earth are also strange. The solar flares in recent times have shown extreme abnormal behavior. The increasing earthquakes, floods, droughts and landslides may have been caused by some artificial agents. On the surface, the American and Russians are saying these missile launches are part of military exercises, but why are they unannounced? What triggered this massive launch of terrestrial missiles in thousands? Photo taken over the Antarctic sky. Video documentaries. Secrets of the Third Reich. Secret Nazi research in alien technology. Secrets of the Third Reich. June 21, 2006. Evidence of the use of extraterrestrial technology. One of the last great mysteries of the 20th century is the occult past of the Third Reich, and membership of secret societies by some of its leading exponents. The question as to whether these people were aware of the existence of lost extraterrestrial technologies, once applied by past advanced cultures, is raised by completely new research, supported by historical documents and original film footage of the period. With the disc-shaped flying objects, UFOs, driven by anti-gravitation forces, actually constructed? Test pilots, engineers and investigators explain the Nazi program for space travel and contact with aliens. Look at the evidence and decide for yourself.